Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Friday, August 7th. I'm Sarith Hawk. An independent medical review finds glaring concerns over the care and conditions of immigrant detainees at a Kern County ICE detention facility.
This report touches on a lot of the issues that we see across immigration detention facilities around the country.
We take a closer look at the findings and its significance at a time of increased deportations. But first, these headlines. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill to place a Fresno County transportation tax on the November ballot. This follows passage in both chambers of the state legislature earlier this week. Assemblywoman Esmeralda Soria and State Senator Ana Caballero were behind the state push. It came after county supervisors voted to delay a measure that had support from voters. Fresno County Supervisor Gary Bredefeld has been outspoken against the move by the state. He wants to sue if it goes to the November ballot.
They're violating the Constitution and targeting Fresno County. It's never been done before, should never happen again.
Bredefeld says he will present the option of filing a lawsuit at the next Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for August 11th. In the meantime, the city of Fresno will not move forward with a transportation tax of its own as the county tax moves forward. Another Fresno County Supervisor, Luis Chavez, says he supports the state's push to add the local transportation tax on the November ballot. He says he is against denying the wishes of thousands of Fresno County voters who signed a petition in favor of the tax measure.
To me, there's nothing more local control than the people themselves. And at the end of the day, we work for the people, not the other way around.
Chavez says he still has major questions surrounding a county effort to pursue litigation over the state's intervention. Kern County is reporting two cases of measles linked to a travel-related exposure. These are the county's first confirmed cases since 2004. Kern County Public Health is investigating the infections and notifying people who may have been exposed. Measles is a highly contagious viral illness that spreads through the air when an infected person coughs or sneezes. Health officials underscored the importance of people being up to date on their vaccines, including the MMR vaccine. The Trump administration on Thursday proposed to streamline Head Start regulations for class sizes, teachers' qualifications, and other standards. Officials say the changes will cut red tape and give local programs more control over how they're run. But Melanie Cottrell, the executive director of Head Start California, says deregulation might weaken the quality of the early childhood education program.
Head Start has always been the gold standard in this type of program, and it's more highly regulated because it is so unique and because it does so many different things.
She says Head Start has higher standards than other childcare programs in the state because it provides healthcare checks, nutritious meals, and other anti-poverty services for the most vulnerable children. The public has 60 days to comment on the proposed rule changes.
KVPR's $10,000 drawing is underway. Do your part to support KVPR by purchasing your $100 ticket for a chance to win the grand prize of $10,000. Only 800 tickets will be sold. Purchase tickets now at kvpr.org/10k.
And now to our main story. All over the country, reports are growing of substandard and inhumane conditions at ICE detention facilities where the federal government's mass deportation campaign operates with little independent oversight. But a class action lawsuit brought on by a group of immigrant detainees in Kern County recently triggered a rare court-ordered medical review. Back in May, a doctor was allowed inside the facility, and we're just now seeing results of the report. It found that the operator, CoreCivic, failed to meet eight basic needs for a functional healthcare system. The report detailed egregious errors in staffing and access to medications that put detainees, quote, at serious risk for both immediate and long-term harm. While KVPR could not reach the doctor who conducted the report, we talked to Dr. Joseph Mwadioko, who read through it. He's an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, who specializes in studying health systems within immigration and incarceration. He offers an analysis of the findings.
Yeah, it painted a pretty worrisome, and in some cases, pretty horrifying picture of healthcare in that system. As an internist, you know that your ability to take care of a patient in front of you really relies deeply on your own knowledge and skill, as well as the information that's in front of you. And this is a facility that was pretty deficient, or pretty lacking, rather, in the number of people who were not only available, but also adequately trained to take care of patients who have become acutely ill. And we had a very disorganized information ecosystem. You often saw medications and medication lists go missing. Patients return from the emergency room and the specialty care visits without clear instructions as to their new treatment plan. The EMR was pretty disorganized and in some cases pre-filled with information that might not pertain to the patient in front of you. And when in that chaos and disorganization, it becomes incredibly difficult to know exactly what the nuances are for the care of the patient in front of you and to treat them in the way that is absolutely needed.
And, you mentioned so much about the staffing and the level of care given. Is that where we need to start looking at if any changes are going to be made to the level of care?
I think there has to be a comprehensive look at the system. And this is one of the big issues that the Monitor's report pointed out, that you can't attract staff to a facility that makes it hard for you to know exactly what a patient's medical history is or what the medication list is. And that doesn't have a proper leadership in place in order to ensure that new staff are protected, with regards to their ability to take care of patients without becoming overextended or being put in a vulnerable position with regards to their outcomes. So I think staffing is an important component of this, but without significant changes in the rest of the system, in the information flow, in the distribution of medications, it becomes pretty futile pretty quickly for the providers to prescribe treatments for patients that might not actually happen.
Yeah, you mentioned the intake process. Was that something that was really detailed in this report? Are patients or are detainees going in and there's not really an understanding of the kind of medical conditions they're coming in with?
Yeah, that I found that pretty worrisome on a number of fronts. The first that you mentioned, of course, is that, sometimes patients will come in and their medication list might be incomplete by the time they finish their intake, which is pretty worrisome if someone has a critical condition that for which they need medications. And the intake process could be otherwise disorganized and incomplete. The other issue that concerns me is that there aren't individuals like nurse practitioners or doctors who are completing the intake process who might actually understand basically the nuances of someone's medical care and be able to ask the specific questions that might need to be asked for someone with a particular medical condition. Most importantly, we know from research, particularly in the jail system, that the most vulnerable part of a patient's stay within a jail or detention facility is when they first arrive there. And that is because patients might have clinical conditions, acute conditions that might be developing that haven't been adequately addressed by healthcare providers, particularly if a facility is the first facility that a patient had been to within the detention system. And if they are confronted with a provider that isn't adequately trained to recognize those acute illnesses and adequately treat them or refer them to emergency care within a rapid fashion, then there can be consequences that can be bad for the patient, unfortunately.
Yeah, this report has outlined some pretty egregious findings. And what we're seeing is that not only is there a lack of staff, but in other reports from the California Department of Justice and Rob Bonta's office, the Attorney General also discussed that there have been an enormous skyrocketing number of detainees that are coming in and sort of overwhelming these centers. So all of it is sort of working against each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I mean, it is staggering that there is a single physician for a facility that can house, you know, as many as 2,500 individuals. That is far too much for any individual in even the community to handle, much less someone who has to deal with consequences of the comorbidities that might result from prolonged detention. And this report actually mentions that this facility, they staffed assuming that this is a group of people that will be on average pretty healthy, when the reverse was actually true. These people came in with pretty complex medical diagnoses that required, I mean, more than one visit in order to adequately monitor. And this facility simply wasn't staffed with the person hours required to accomplish that task.
And Dr. Wadioko, I know you've looked at other detention facilities throughout your career. How does this report from California City sort of stack up to other places you've looked? Does this surprise you at all?
Unfortunately not. This report touches on a lot of the issues that we see across immigration detention facilities around the country, information can be easily lost regarding the patients, that the escalation of care can be delayed, that requests to see a physician or a qualified healthcare provider can be delayed, and that the staffing can be significantly poor as well. A report that I'd done in the past had shown that across facilities where even the government provided direct healthcare, there were significant challenges with regards to their ability to staff it adequately with healthcare providers.
And this study was really done because a number of detainees have filed a lawsuit over the medical care that they received. Now that it's out and these independent observations have been made, what kind of authority does it have on operations? Do you think it could affect any changes?
Well, that's completely dependent on the judge and the decisions that they make regarding the findings in this report. I sincerely hope there can be changes to improve healthcare. I sincerely hope that there can be changes to, if need be, remove patients that are significantly ill from that facility so that they are not in a compromising position while this facility is having its healthcare system overhauled. But we'll have to see.
And how significant is it that we're even seeing this kind of medical information coming from an independent monitor? It's usually really hard because of the federal government's authority to kind of get that information out of what's become sort of black boxes at these detention centers.
No, I'm definitely glad that there's more transparency regarding this particular facility. More facilities need these deep dives in order to understand how healthcare is actually carried out. But of course, you know, the findings of it are horrifying, frankly, and worrisome, and hopefully become addressed very quickly.
Dr. Joseph Nwadioko, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, thanks so much for joining me and for your insights.
Thank you so much for having me.
KVPR reached out to the detention center's operator, CoreCivic, for a response to the report. Ryan Gustin, Senior Director of Public Affairs, sent a statement that said it does not comment on matters involving active litigation, but that, quote, nothing matters more to CoreCivic than the health, safety, and well-being of the people in our care, and that CoreCivic staff is, quote, held to the highest ethical standards. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.